Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today we are going to perform a bit of an autopsy on a feeling that, well, I guarantee every single person listening has felt at some point.
Oh, yeah.
It's that that specific tightness in your chest you get when you're maybe 17. You're standing by the door and you hear, "Where are you going and what time will you be back?"
The universal sound of the leash being pulled.
Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly. It's that friction between I'm my own person and you're still my child.
Mm.
And we usually just write this off as, you know, teenage angst.
A rite of passage.
Right. But today we're looking at it through a much more precise lens. We're getting into the mechanics of autonomy and specifically how this whole dynamic can completely flip depending on a family's background.
It's a fascinating area because it turns out what we think of as, say, good parenting or even healthy rebellion is, well, it's not nearly as universal as we assume.
So let's introduce our source for this. We are breaking down a 2025 study from the Journal of Family Psychology.
It's called Autonomy Restrictions and Desires in Parent-Youth Relationships. It's by Wissam Abitoy and a team of colleagues.
And this is not a small sample. They looked at, what, almost 1,000 young people. Ages 16 to 25, all living in the Netherlands.
Right, and the Netherlands part is actually key here. You're talking about one of the most individualistic, liberal societies on the planet.
A place where personal freedom is practically a religion.
Exactly.
Which makes it the perfect laboratory to test this stuff. So the mission for this deep dive is to figure out, does strict parenting always lead to more fighting? And does strict even mean the same thing if your parents were born in Morocco versus, say, Amsterdam?
And the answers are definitely not what you'd expect.
Okay, so let's start with the basic machinery. The study looks at two forces pushing against each other, restrictions and desires.
Think of it like the brakes and the accelerator in a car.
Okay, good analogy. So restrictions, those are the rules.
Right.
But the study was really specific, right? They didn't just ask, are your parents strict?
No, not at all. They broke it down into eight specific battlegrounds. Curfew, leaving home without telling your parents, weekend plans, going on holiday alone.
And bigger stuff, too.
Much bigger. Moving out, who you date, who you choose as a partner, and even your personal beliefs, like politics or religion.
Wow, that's a huge spectrum. That's everything from be home by 11 to who you're allowed to marry.
It covers the day-to-day logistics all the way up to life-altering choices.
And then on the other side of the equation, you have autonomy desires, which is pretty much what it sounds like.
It's simply, do you want to make these decisions by yourself? And this is where we have to bring in the core theory behind the whole study. It's called the stage environment fit theory.
I love this concept. It sounds like something from an engineering test book, but it's about people.
It really is. The theory basically says that problems or conflict don't just happen because an environment is bad or strict.
Uh-huh.
The problems arise when there's a mismatch between what a person needs at their stage of development and what the environment is giving them.
So it's like, it's not that a size 6 shoe is an inherently bad shoe.
Right.
A size 6 shoe is only bad if I have a size 10 foot.
That's a perfect analogy. The conflict is the blister you get from that mismatch. The study found that parental rules, the restrictions, don't really cause conflict on their own. The conflict explodes when the desire for autonomy is high.
They actually showed this in a graph in the study, figure one. It's a really clear picture.
It is. It shows that if a young person has a low desire for autonomy, I mean, they genuinely don't mind their parents having a say, then even high restrictions don't really predict conflict. The line on the graph is pretty much flat. The shoe fits.
But if that desire is high, if that kid is just desperate for independence and the rules are tight,
that's when the line shoots straight up. That's the explosion. It just confirms that the real friction is in the gap between what you want and what you're allowed.
Okay, so that makes sense. That feels intuitive. Want freedom, don't get it, you fight. But now we have to layer in the cultural context, because this is where the study takes a huge unexpected turn.
This is where it gets really complex. The researchers split their sample into two groups. First, you had youth without an immigration background. So both parents born in the Netherlands.
The native Dutch group.
Right. And the second group was youth with an immigration background. And for this study, that meant at least one parent was born in a non-Western country.
So Africa, Latin America, or Asia.
Exactly. And they intentionally excluded immigrants from, say, the U.S. or Germany. They really wanted to sharpen that contrast between an individualistic culture and a more collectivistic one.
The I culture versus the we culture.
Precisely.
So let's just look at the raw numbers. First question. Who has more rules?
Well, no big surprise there. The youth with an immigration background reported significantly more restrictions, and it wasn't a small difference. The effect size was really large. Their parents were just stricter.
Okay. So you have these kids living in the Netherlands, a very free society, but their home life has much tighter rules. Now, if you ask me to guess, I'd say that is a recipe for disaster. I would assume these kids are looking at their Dutch friends, seeing all that freedom, and just seething. I'd expect their desire for autonomy would be through the roof.
And that would be the classic acculturation gap hypothesis. It's the standard story we tell. The kids adapt to Western values faster than their parents, and the home becomes a war zone.
But that is not what the data showed at all.
Not even close. In fact, it was the exact opposite. The youth with an immigration background reported significantly lower desires for autonomy than their native Dutch peers.
Wait, I want to pause on that because it's so strange. They have more rules, but they want less freedom.
Correct.
Is that just, have they just been beaten down? Like a kind of learned helplessness? You stop wanting it because you know you can't have it?
I mean, that's a fair question to ask, but the study suggests it's more about something called cultural continuity. These young adults aren't just passively becoming Dutch. They are actively maintaining the values from their family's culture of origin.
Where independence isn't the ultimate goal.
Exactly. In many of these cultures, interdependence is the goal. Family cohesion. The idea of relying on your parents isn't seen as a failure of adulthood. It's seen as a success of the family unit.
So you don't desire to make a huge decision on your own. You want it to be a group project.
You want the family's input. So to go back to your analogy, the shoe they're wearing might look tight to an outsider, but to them, it's actually a pretty comfortable fit.
Which leads us to what is, for me, the most shocking finding in the whole paper. Hypothesis 5.
This is the core of it, yeah.
They looked at whether more restrictions led to more conflict, and when they looked at the native Dutch families.
The link was strong. More rules meant more conflict, and the kids felt less supported by their parents. The classic Western model. You tighten the screws, the relationship gets worse.
You're cramping my style, I hate you.
Basically. But for the youth with an immigration background, there was no significant association between restrictions and conflict. Statistically, none. Strict rules did not predict more fighting. And maybe even more important, strict rules did not predict that the kid would feel less supported.
That is just wild. So a Dutch kid gets a curfew and they feel controlled and unloved. An immigrant kid gets an even stricter curfew and they feel fine.
Or even cared for. And we have to unpack the why of it. It all comes down to how you interpret the intention behind the rule.
A why, right.
In a culture like the Dutch one, where individualism is king, autonomy is seen as a basic right. So if my parent restricts me, they're violating my rights. They're being hostile. They're saying, I don't trust you.
It feels like a power trip.
But in many collectivistic cultures, parental authority is just seen differently. It has more legitimacy. And that control is often perceived not as hostility, but as care.
I'm strict because I love you.
I'm strict because I'm protecting you. I'm guiding you. And if the child shares that cultural framework, which the data on their lower desires suggests they do, then they don't receive the rule as an attack. They receive it as parenting.
It's not oppression, it's protection. That just, it reframes everything.
It does. And the authors also mention that these youth might just use different strategies. Instead of overt conflict, like slamming doors, they might use negotiation or just acceptance.
Okay, but I want to be careful here. We're not saying that immigrant families are these magical places where nobody ever fights.
No, absolutely not.
Because the study did check if the basic psychological engine was the same for everyone.
Right? It did. That was hypothesis 6. They wanted to know if that stage environment fit theory still held up for both groups.
Yeah.
The engine is exactly the same. The underlying mechanism is universal.
What does that mean exactly?
It means that even though immigrant youth on average want less autonomy, if you take an individual from that group who does have a high desire, someone who really wants to break away, and their parents are very strict.
The conflict happens.
It explodes, just as much as it would in a native Dutch family. They are not immune to the physics of the mismatch.
So the levels are different, but the effect of a bad fit is universal. If you want it and you can't have it, you're going to clash, no matter where your parents were born.
Exactly. It shows that the stage environment fit is a fundamental human thing, not just a Western one.
I think that's a really powerful point. We're all wired the same way. We're just running on slightly different cultural software.
That's a great way to put it.
Now, I do want to touch on a limitation the authors mentioned. Who were these kids? They were students in tertiary vocational education. Why is that an important detail?
Well, in the Dutch system, that's a very practical, job-focused track of education. It's distinct from the more academic university track.
And university environments tend to push independence.
They're independence factories. They encourage critical thinking, questioning authority, often living away from home for the first time. The author suggests that if they had surveyed university students, you might have seen higher autonomy desires across the board.
Even for the immigrant youth.
Potentially, yeah. The environment itself might start to create that mismatch. So we have to remember this is a specific slice of the population.
It's a good reminder that youth isn't one single thing. A 20-year-old in trade school can have a very different life than a 20-year-old in med school.
Absolutely.
So let's pull all this together. What's the big takeaway for someone listening? For me, it seems to be about judgment.
I agree. We often judge other families or even our own past through this one single cultural lens. We see a 24-year-old who still lives at home and has a curfew, and our gut reaction is, that's unhealthy. That's toxic.
Cut the cord already.
Right. But this study shows that strictness isn't objectively good or bad. It all depends on the fit. If that 24-year-old values family cohesion and actually feels loved and protected by those rules, then the relationship isn't toxic. It's working.
It's about how the rule is received, not about the rule itself.
And for any parents listening, this is huge. If you're clashing with your kid, maybe stop focusing on the rule. Look at the mismatch. Are you trying to fit a size 10 foot into a size 6 shoe?
And I think for families with an immigration background, this is a massive validation.
Yeah.
It says that just because your family dynamic doesn't look like a sitcom from the West, it doesn't mean it's broken.
Exactly. It shows that in many cases, that parental authority is the very thing holding that supportive family structure together. It's a story of resilience and adaptation, not just conflict.
I want to leave us with one last kind of provocative thought here.
Let's hear it.
The study shows that these immigrant youth have lower autonomy desires right now in
Yeah.
this snapshot from age 15 to 25.
A cross section.
Right. But my question is that a permanent cultural value or is it just a delay? What happens if that desire for independence doesn't go away but just wakes up when they turn 30 or 35?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Because if that desire spikes later in life, but the parents are still operating on the old strict setting,
When the stage environment fit breaks down.
and you could see that conflict explosion we talked about just on a much longer timeline, you could get the rebellion of a teenager happening in a 35-year-old.
Which is a fascinating and, slightly terrifying possibility.
It suggests this whole negotiation of autonomy isn't something you finish at 18. It's a lifelong calibration.
It certainly is.
So here's our challenge to you listening. Think about your own relationships with parents, with kids, maybe even at work. Where is the friction really coming from? Is it the rule? Or is it a bad fit between the environment and the stage you're actually in?
Good food for thought.
Thanks for diving deep with us today. We'll see you on the next one.